Welcome to this episode of Coffee with Source. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Emma. I'm grateful that you're here. One of the topics I've been curious about for a really long time is tarot card reading. Any kind of divination really is very intriguing to me, from the usage of pendulums to reading cards to even some people reading tea leaves as a modality to communicate with the divine or what have you, has always really interested me. And particularly tarot cards, because I feel like they've been around for a really long time. And the intricacy of the symbolism on the cards has always been very fascinating to me. But again, I, grew up very, very Catholic. And so it was ingrained in me from a very young age that any kind of divination that was outside of the church, wasn't great, was evil or was bad. But my curiosity remained, which caused a lot of self-doubt in my head. Like, if I'm so curious about it, then am I really such a good person? And all of these things. But that's a subject for another day. Let me know if you want to hear more about my constant struggle between guilt and religion, and I will gladly do an episode on that. But today it's all about Isolde and her love and passion for tarot. And she's such a wonderful teacher, and the way she explains the whole thing, the whole shebang, the history and what it's used for and what you can get out of it is just amazing and fascinating. So I'm grateful that you're here. And without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Welcome to this episode of Coffee with Source. My guest today is Isolde. We're chatting again, but today we are chatting one of my favorite subjects, all things tarot. Welcome.
Yay.
Yay. I am, okay, I don't know how to describe it. I feel like I knew about tarot.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a girlfriend growing up who had a tarot deck. But he was so skeptical, mm-hmm. He thought she was woohoo and all of these things. And so I always grew up with this curiosity, but was always like, oh, they're cards. And then rewind to the beginning of the pandemic, I'm online and I start noticing more and more tarot readers doing these videos. And some of these messages are just like pretty specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I get curious and I find someone local in Montreal, and sure enough, she does a tarot reading. I head over to her home. She lives in a basement apartment, and she's known to be, this great tarot reader.
Mm-hmm.
I do a half hour read and I was like, it's impossible. When it's so specific,
mm-hmm.
It was just so specific. And at the end, she writes a little message to me on this post-it note. And she says, these are the books you need to read. And sure enough, I get the books immediately and my life has completely changed.
Wow. That's great.
Isn't that great? So then
that is great.
I buy myself a tarot deck and I buy myself the little thing. But every time, I've taken these free online classes on how to interpret the cards, but I still get afraid of the deck. How can I describe it? Like if I pull out like the death card, I'm like, I'm dying. So I put the cards away.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? When you're supposed to really be intuitive, right?
You've just asked a bunch of questions. Let me see, first of all. Honestly,
you know how excited I am?
No, this is great. And the thing is, here's the thing about tarot. First of all, professional tarot readers almost never read for themselves because of what you just described. What we tend to do is go, oh, I know what's going to happen. And we tend to jump to the most obvious and the worst possible conclusions, right? So most tarot readers who are professionals don't read for themselves. It's like, no, I'll have somebody else read for me because I can't be objective. Because you want objectivity, right? When I read for people, I would rather not know anything about the person. In fact, if they could sit behind a curtain, I would be even happier because like it or not, you get these little minute cues from people when you're reading for them. They might raise an eyebrow, or they might smile, or they might, you know, widen their eyes or something. And even if you're trying not to be biased by it, you will be. So the more that I personally can focus on the story that I'm seeing in the cards rather than what anybody else says or does, the better, right? So that's one thing, first of all. And it's interesting that you've started trying to learn tarot, which I'm really happy about, because I think it's a wonderful tool for sort of self-discovery and insight. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually creating an online class right now exactly designed to help people learn tarot in a way that isn't frightening, in a way that is very practical. And in fact, it's probably going to be called like the practical tarot, because... Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And the reason I want to do that is because, like you said, you thought, you know, oh, this is woo-woo and it's weird. And the thing about tarot is that we can look at it from that perspective, and there are people out there who do. I look at it as a storytelling medium, actually.
100%. Yeah. My perspective has completely changed because... You know, I've now allowed myself to step into this spiritual channel, which in reflecting back, I've always been connected to source from a young age. Mm. And really believe that's why I felt so disconnected from reality. You know, I'm not sure if I shared that with you in our previous conversation, but always feeling like life was a parade, you know, and mm-hmm. just like looking up at the sky and the stars and just being like, can I go home now? Like, this is kind of boring. Like, why do grown-ups always talk about the weather? Or, you know, I spent so much time being raised in the Catholic Church. My grandmother would take me 2-3 times a week and just then leave church. And then you'd hear people gossiping. And that would never sit right with me, going like, this is backwards. Being a grown-up is backwards. Being a human is backwards. And now allowing myself to tap into it, I really see the value of, you know, channeling whatever message is coming through and having the illustration of the tarot deck. I just hope I can get to the point where it's like, I see the cards and I don't have to pull out the little Rider-Waite booklet that accompanies the card.
Right.
Such a literal description. Mm-hmm. I see these tarot readers who are like, do you see this coin? Do you see the green lusciousness in the back? And I'm like, I do. When you describe it, I do. This means fertility, you know, and not just by the book. And so I followed the instructions. I went online and, you know, it's kind of like trying to diagnose yourself when, you know, you have an mm-hmm. ache and you go online and you go on WebMD. And, you know, they're like, you have to sleep with your tarot deck. So sure enough, I did. For a week, I put the tarot deck in my pillowcase and I'm like, I'm imprinting on my tarot deck. But I do believe that it's a great tool to be able to tell the story of the intuitive insight that comes through that we can't always describe very well.
Absolutely. And the thing is, and I appreciate that you're sleeping with the tarot deck under your pillow. The way I describe it to my... No, it's important, I think, because there's a particular woo-woo reason, but because psychologically the last thing you do before you go to sleep provides a channel into that subconscious dream state. So when you look at the symbols on the cards, for example, you are accessing your conscious mind to look at the symbols and the pictures and the colors and all of that. But if you do it right before you go to sleep, you're also sort of giving a little message to your subconscious mind to pull out all of the things that it knows about these symbols, right? So that's one of the things that we don't think about when we look at tarot, is that our subconscious mind, and I fully believe this, our subconscious mind knows everything we're ever going to need to know, right? Mm-hmm. So because of that, we have the capability of bringing out or bringing forth all of that knowledge, and the medium we use to do that with the tarot are the symbols and are the images that you see on the different cards. Now, when you're laying out a spread, which is, you know, the number of different tarot cards in different positions, each position in the spread has a different association and each card has a different meaning. So when you're telling the story of the reading, you're looking at how the different cards and their meanings relate and apply to where they are in the spread. So if you're looking at what happened before, right, you're looking at the past, well, the card will tell you different images and symbols, and you can go, well, these are the images and symbols I see, and this is how they relate to what has already happened. But if you're looking to get more insight about your current state of mind, then you'd be looking at different facets of those symbols and images to bring out that part of the story. And our subconscious mind knows all of that already. And then we just have to sort of provide that channel, as you said, to bring it out into our conscious mind.
That makes so much sense. Can you share with me, when did you discover tarot along your journey?
It's actually an interesting little story. I am an immigrant to the USA, and I am from the former Soviet Union. I was born in what is now called Moldova. And there, a lot of things that would be considered woo-woo here are commonplace, right? They are just the way things are done. So you look at rocks and you look at herbs and you look at flowers and you look at cards as symbols of things that you need to know about or things that you might want to pay attention to moving into the future. My great-grandmother, who is named was named Golda. She taught me how to read regular playing cards. She also taught me about herbs and about symbols and about rocks. And she would be cooking lunch or whatever, and I'd just be sitting at the table, and she would just talk to me about this stuff. And so she taught me how to read regular playing cards when I was 4 years old. And I didn't think anything about it when we left the Soviet Union. Fast forward 11 years, I'm 15 years old. I'm standing in a Borders bookstore, and I look and I see these cards and I go, huh, what are these? And I see tarot cards and I thought, these are so cool. And then as I started looking into them, because I bought my first deck and I started reading about it and studying about it, I remembered what my great-grandma Golda had said to me about regular playing cards. And actually what's interesting is that the tarot is sort of the ancestor of the regular playing deck, and the suits correlate, right? So the sword suit in the tarot is the spade suit in the regular playing deck. The cup suit is the heart suit. The clubs suit is the rods or wands suit, right? So when you look at them, they have a lot of relationship to one another. And I went, oh, I remember this. This is so familiar. So I started reading tarot for all of my friends when I was 15. And then in college, I sort of turned pro and started reading at parties and events and corporations. And I read at the Halloween party of the 2015 President Obama White House. They had a Halloween party and they wanted a tarot reader there for fun. So I was there reading tarot for the guests and reading their palms and things. And it sort of ballooned out of that, sitting at the kitchen table and having my great-grandmother talk to me about regular playing cards. And that's the journey of how I ended up reading tarot for, you name the person, and different corporations, organizations, and all of that. So who want to get these kinds of insights? And lots of people you would not believe want to get tarot readings.
I believe that the elites have a team of counselors, like astrologers, you know, astronomers and numerologists. I believe that.
Yeah, it's very interesting to be sort of with one foot in both of those worlds.
But, you know, for our listeners, if you haven't listened to my previous conversation with Isolde, please go back. But this has not been your full-time work. I feel like you've had so many lives in one life, and I've only had two conversations with you. But this is not what you did professionally. This was just like a passion project on the side, or?
It's a combination. I mean, I think one of the things that we've had in our lives is this push to be the one thing. I am a scientist. I am a this. I am a that. And I sort of chose to forego that many years ago. And I'm an author. I'm a professional musician. I'm a tarot reader. And I worked at NASA for over 20 years. So.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, because I believe in curiosity and I want to learn about and do what I'm curious about. And so with tarot cards, when the pandemic started, I went, you know what? I've always wanted to create my own deck. And so that's what I did during the first 2 months of the pandemic, sort of February and March, when things really started slowing. No, actually March, April, when things started slowing down and everybody shut down. That's what I did for about 12 hours a day, is I developed and created my own tarot deck and then published it, right? Because I wanted something that was super easy to read that would really tell stories easily to whoever wants to read tarot without having some of these tarot decks. And I'm a collector, so I have hundreds of decks, but I collect them for the art because not all of them lend themselves really well to being read. They're beautiful, they're evocative, but they're not necessarily easy to read. And so I wanted a deck that was going to be super easy to read, and I added a few cards, right? And so that's another thing that I do, is I wanted to teach people who want to get that kind of insight to read tarot in a really easy way.
That's amazing. We'll get back to the tarot, but can you share with us, because I feel that so many people get these glimpses of wisdom, knowledge, inspiration, whatever you want to call it, a little voice in their head that says, mm-hmm. hey, you really like this, you should lean into that. But you've taken that to the whole, you know, a whole new level where you're like, I want to design a deck. This is something I've always wanted to do. I'm taking this opportunity and I'm putting action behind the inspiration. How do you do it?
Wow. That's a really interesting question. I think the way I do it is one tiny step at a time. I will assess what I'm curious about and go, yeah, I want to learn more. And then the next question I ask is how? How do I learn more? And maybe I Google, maybe I meditate, maybe I write a whole bunch of information down. Maybe I ask people and I start developing a plan of action based on synthesizing information from various sources. Some of it is, I meditate twice a day, first thing in the morning, right before I go to sleep. And I'll ask again. I have this, I think I mentioned to you before, I have a librarian who lives in my head. Her name is Edna, and she looks curiously like Edna Mode from The Incredibles. And in fact, I have her right here. She sits right next to me. This is Edna Mode. And we kind of look alike. You can
like
see
a little bit, yeah.
Anyway, so she's the librarian who lives in my head, and that's my conduit to my subconscious mind. And I will ask her for information, and I send her back to my subconscious, and she comes back with answers. Anytime I forget something, anytime I want to understand something, I'll ask her, because I really believe our subconscious mind, it's Carl Jung's river of all that is, really. We all are tuned in. We all have a way of getting there. I just happen to use a librarian. That's my way. That's somebody else might.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's how I do it, is I sort of start asking these questions. If I were going to do this, how would I do it? And I break things down into tiny steps, right? I don't want this to be something that is overwhelming. It is overwhelming to think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a tarot deck, right? Instead, I look at it from the perspective of, okay, what comprises a tarot deck? Where might I go to do this? I did mine on Canva and Photoshop. That's it. I went to Canva and created a tarot deck. And you can, right? That's the thing that we don't give credence to, is that first of all, when you decide, when you imagine something, often you can do it.
Well,
and that's so huge.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Ask a question, you'll start seeing synchronicities. You'll start overhearing conversations of people talking mm-hmm. about, you know, you'll hear someone talking about tarot when you're in line at Starbucks and you'll go, oh, that's for me. You'll start noticing different things and leaning more into that. But I feel like we live in a society where people are, I don't know how it is where you are, but everyone I speak to is always exhausted. Mm. Everyone's exhausted. Everyone's stressed. Everyone can't wait for Friday. Everyone can't wait to go home and just do nothing. And I think
for
that,
sure.
You know, so many of these people also have so many passion projects and ideas, but figuring out how to do it and make it fit in the schedule is what's overwhelming.
Sure. Absolutely. And you know what? We don't have to do 5 hours a day. That's the thing, right? When I'm writing a book, I don't tell myself I'm going to write for 8 hours. I tell myself 5 minutes. If you can do 5 minutes, that's great. I will take, instead of half an hour for lunch, I'll take 25 minutes for lunch. It's like, I'm going to switch topics for a second, but it's really important. I've practiced yoga, right? And I've been doing yoga every day for 26 years. And my rule for myself is very simple. I am not required to do yoga every single day. I'm not. What I am required to do is step on the yoga mat every single day. Oh, right. It's tiny. This is not.
And that ties into your small steps every day.
Exactly.
I love that.
Tiny steps every single day. And what you realize is that you have more time than you think you do, but you don't try to do it all at once. You know, you don't try to eat an apple by shoving the entire apple in your mouth. You take bites. And that's the most important thing is I don't have to do 45 minutes of yoga a day. In fact, I almost never do. I do about half an hour. But if I'm rushed, if I'm in a hurry, of course, that's the best time to do some yoga is when you're feeling rushed. But I'm only required to unroll the mat and step on it. And if I step on it, chances are I'm going to do even a tiny bit and I'll feel better and more ready for my day. But I am guilt-free about it. As long as I've unrolled the mat and I've stepped on it, there is absolutely no guilt if I step right off. Because I think what's interesting, Emma, we spend so much energy beating ourselves up and feeling guilty that about things we haven't yet done.
And then we let ourselves down. And
exactly.
The more we let ourselves down, the more we give up. And then we say shit like, nothing ever works out for me. Everything I try, it never works out.
Yeah, and for sure.
That guilt is so heavy.
It is.
Confidence in ourselves and trust with ourselves.
Sure. And the other part of it is, imagine if you were to take that energy and instead of using it for worry and guilt, use it for that thing that you wanted to do, right? So isn't that an interesting way to look at fatigue? How much of your life is being spent, how much of your energy is being spent worrying and feeling guilty instead of taking that energy and moving it towards the very thing you're dreaming of doing?
100%. I heard Bob Proctor say something once and it changed my life. And it was, movement and excellence create order. And the whole topic was about doing little things every day. And that's how you really reframe your subconscious mind and retrain your brain.
For sure.
So even stepping on the yoga mat is like giving yourself a high five and saying, you know, today I was really busy. I'll give myself some grace, but I pulled out the mat and I stood on it. Maybe I took a few deep breaths. And so you want to do more. You want to do that again, because being your own cheerleader and giving yourself that
yes.
high five feels so good, you know?
It really does.
Stop seeking external validation, because at first when we start, we want to share, right? Like, I'm going to start doing an hour of yoga every day. And then you start telling people, and then you do it the first few days. And then people start asking you and you've been letting yourself down and you feel like shit about it. And then you don't want to talk about it. And then you don't want to do yoga anymore. And then you start complaining about all the reasons why externally you couldn't commit to yourself. It's a vicious cycle.
It is. And so that's why some of it is great to share, I think. And some of it, keep to yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with keeping the things that you're doing.
Until you establish trust.
Sure. And not just trust, but habit. You know, a lot of this stuff is, it's like brushing your teeth, right? If you can make whatever your dream is, 5 minutes of writing a day, like brushing your teeth, you get up, you put on, you know, you remove your jammies, you go and you brush your teeth, and then you spend 5 minutes writing. That's just your habit. Before you even start the coffee, you spend 5 minutes writing. That's, if you can build that habit, eventually you'll, you know, by 5 minutes a day, let's say you do 100 words, wow, look at how many words you'll have in a year, right? It's not a short-term thing. It's a long-term thing, but you can do it. Even if it's tiny, you will still make incremental advances, and being in that process will be incredibly rewarding and it'll feel terrific.
Yeah. We live in a society of immediate gratification, right? So learning to say that I might not feel that excited or that great or see a difference, right? People start going to the gym in a weekend. They're like, I haven't lost 100 pounds.
Oh, yes.
Focus on all the other benefits, right? Like I've just started working out, you know, I'm not seeing results, but I'm sleeping better.
Right.
Or, you know, I have more energy in certain ways. So just sticking with it and not focusing on the immediate results, I think that's amazing as well.
For sure.
Okay. Let's get back to tarot. So how do you start off a reading? Pretend that I'm your, you know, I'm coming over right now and I'm asking you for a reading. How does that, what is the etiquette on my part?
The etiquette on the part of the person getting a reading?
Yeah.
The only thing that I ask for anybody is be open. And that's the most awesome. Important thing. The other part of it is that what I will do is, and I do the same thing with my online readings, because most of my readings are online nowadays, I have the deck and I put it out on a table and I flare it out in a big arc. And then I don't choose the cards. The person who's getting the reading chooses the cards. And the way we'll talk about it is, what, first of all, what kind of reading do you want? Do you have specific questions or do you want a more general reading to see where things are and where things are going? Because it depends on what it is that you want. And I let the person getting the reading guide all of that. I try to stay as open myself as possible without, again, biasing myself in anything that they say. So for example, if they're getting a general reading, I don't want to know anything about their lives. If it's a new client, I don't want to know anything. I just want to tell the story I see in the cards as they choose the cards and I lay them out. And then if they're asking specific questions, they absolutely don't have to tell me the question. I don't want to know, right? So for me personally, there are lots of readers who will want to know, but I don't want to know. I just want you to focus on your specific question. You choose 3 or 5 cards, depending on how many, what the question is, like if it's a yes or no versus a more substantive, how should I, what can I do, that kind of thing. Mm. And then you draw the cards, and then I tell you what the cards say with respect to whatever you asked. Now, if you tell me specifically, I want to know what I need to do to get this job that I'm up for, then I, you know, chances are you'll choose the cards that are appropriate for that, but I will also be able to then focus the reading specifically on the job. What I found often, though, is that even if you don't tell me, and again, I don't really want to know, even if you don't tell me what the exact question is, the cards often, because you choose them, will focus on, if it's a job question, let's say, and I still don't know, the cards will focus on self-development, the cards will focus on finances, the practical, the physical, maybe moving and telecommuting, whatever it is, they will actually focus on it for me. So I don't even have to know the question because you've chosen subconsciously which cards are most going to reflect what you most need to know.
It's amazing. How do I select the cards if I'm doing a virtual reading?
The way we do it is that I flare the cards out in a big arc, and then I run my hand along the cards. And when you feel like, oh, that one, you tell me.
I just got chills.
Yeah. So that's it. You tell me, because some people say they feel a warmth. Some people say they feel a little buzzing. Some people do it completely randomly and I'll just go run my finger along. They'll go that one. And then I choose based on what you tell me to choose. And then we the rest of the reading goes the exact same way. I read based on, again, where the cards fall in the spread, because each position in the spread has a different meaning. And then the cards themselves all have different symbols and different meanings. And so based on that, I'm able to tell the story that I see in the cards for the question that you're asking, regardless of whether or not I know what the question is. So it's interesting that you're talking about being a channel. To me, it's a storytelling channel. Mm-hmm. And I look at all of this not so much as it's not woo-woo for me. It's actually quite practical. That's why the deck is called the Practical Tarot, because the symbols are, and the stories in them and the images and the stories in them are all part of what I think of as the human experience. Mm-hmm. So we all have different facets of that human experience. The cards, and in fact, normally in the deck there are 78. I added 6 cards because I thought that there were some things that were missing. So in this deck there are 84 cards. And the reason for that is because, again, this is all the human experience. We all have different facets of it in our lives. Some were missing, so I added some. And now when I read the deck, when I do a reading for someone, I feel like I can get a more complete picture because these are all aspects of things that we all go through at one time or another.
That's amazing. I'm so curious. How long does a reading last?
It depends. Some people come in with one question. They do a reading. It takes 10 minutes. We're done. Some people have a general reading and then they have specific questions afterwards. That can take about an hour. It just depends on what I'm there to help you get what you need out of the reading, right? That's the whole point. That's the whole point. And like in the book, I'm writing a book right now that's about to be published this summer. It's a fiction book about a tarot card reader who works with the police to solve crimes. When she does readings, they're very specific, right? Cassie's the name of the character. She's being asked to find someone who is killing people, right? And so those readings are very specific, and they take 30 seconds because she draws a card and reads, this is where this person is, or this is what's going on right now. That's a very different kind of reading than someone who's like, oh, I want to know where to focus my life in the next 5 years. That's going to be a much longer and more involved reading because there are lots of different facets and there's a much greater time frame that we're talking about.
Is there a theme that you see that's reoccurring, a most popular theme, like love? Like, does he really love me? Will I get married? Well, you know, is he cheating on me? Do you see that more, or do you see the financial aspect more?
I think there, love is so important and crucial. Love, babies, job, career, family. Those are the main ones that people, that either they're focusing on because they have those questions or the cards are focusing on. Now, if you look at the suits, they are cups, are they govern love. Pentacles govern the physical, sort of the finances, job, that kind of stuff. Swords are going to govern the intellectual. So what are your dreams and goals? Where are you going with it? And rods are going to cover what do you do? What are the things that you're going to do? Your own passions, your own dynamism. And then the major arcana are life cycle in and of themselves. They're the ones that were removed from the regular playing deck when they developed the regular playing deck, by the way, because it's stuff that's not in your control, right? One of the things that goes on is that we are unable, when we do this stuff, to always have control over everything, right? Living life, things happen. The minor arcana, which are the suits, the swords, the cups, etc., are day-to-day stuff that you often do have control over. The major arcana, which are like the star, the sun, the magician, the high priestess, those are things that happen to you. The wheel of fortune, the tower, those are greater than day-to-day stuff of life events. And that means that we are in a situation that we are going to have to deal with what happens to us rather than having a lot of impact on how we live and what we do.
What if I come to you and I have a question about, you know, love or finances, and you pull out three major arcanas?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends.
Tough nuggets, girl. You're going to get what you're going to get, and you're not going to get upset.
Actually, I mean, that's one of the things to really note. A really good professional reader will never tell you life's about to go into the shitter without also giving you the plan of action on how to resolve the situation, right? If a reader just tells you, how do I put this? If you go to a reader and they say to you, your life's about to go to hell unless you buy the $750 candle from me, get out. This is not a reader with a good reputation. I'm serious. There are people out there who do this. I remember a friend and I went once to a palm reader, and Tina reads cards and palms, but she's like, I've never gotten one done. Let's go. And the woman, you know, it was a $5 reading, and the woman immediately went into this, your palm is unclear. If you paid me a little bit more, you know, cross my palm with silver. If you paid me another $5, I'd be able to see it. And then she goes, oh, but I need to see the other hand. And the other hand, reading both hands is going to cost you $25. So, and Tina's like, $50 is my limit. And I just was rolling my eyes the whole time. And the woman goes to Tina, this woman is not your friend. She's out to get you. You need to get her to leave. And so I left, and Tina was there for another little bit because she just wanted to see what would happen. And she said $50 worth of entertainment was great, but it was just a scam. It was just a sham. The woman said $5, but then every little thing was more money. And the very last thing she said was to remove the negative energy that I was putting in her life. It was going to be a $300 candle from Mary. Right? Mary as in mother of Jesus. And that was the clincher, right? If you come to me, you're going to get a $300 candle and then all things will be better. And that's the kind of thing you should just run away from. Please. These are scammers. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a professional reading, go to someone who's going to want to work with you. And so
let's say in our reading, you see that I'm about to, you know, lose my job. I'm working for a company. You see mm-hmm. that. You know, things are about to go down the shitter. You know, something's going to happen with the job. How would you address that with me?
Okay, a couple of different things. First of all, if you're about to lose your job and the cards say that, I would say there are certain things that are happening right now that you need to be aware of. A, the job is in jeopardy. Now you have to decide for yourself whether or not you want to keep the job, because maybe you don't want to keep the job. Maybe that's been one of the things, right? So we would draw cards about that part of it. And then, Are there things that you can do if you really want this job? Are there things that you can do to subvert it? Can you talk to your boss? Can you ask for additional responsibilities? What are those things that are going on, right? So we would always look at it from that perspective of what are the things that you can do to mitigate the circumstances. I'm going to give you an example. This is a very interesting one. I was doing a reading. I was working at the Renaissance Festival. I was doing a reading for a woman and who came to talk to me about the fact that she was having writer's block and she really needed to know more about how to get out of it and how to write the book that she wanted to write. And the cards were like, you are not well. You need to go right now. Like, do not wait. Do not pass go. Go right now and contact a doctor. Something is very wrong around your belly and below. You need to do this right now. And the book will take care of itself. The whole reading was all about like, the book is fine. Don't worry about the book. Go take care of this physical stuff. She went, okay. A year later, she comes in. She's got a bottle of wine and a bouquet of roses for me. And she goes, I needed you to have this. I don't know if you remember me, but you told me that I had this stuff that I needed to take care of. And I said, I do remember you. What happened? And she said, I went to the doctor that Monday. This was on a weekend. I went to the doctor that Monday. I had stage 4 ovarian cancer.
Ah, oh, I have full body chills.
But wait. She said, you told me to go get the best doctors. I got the best doctors. I had the best team. I am cancer free. And then she reaches into her bag. She pulls out a book and she goes, and this is the book I wrote about the experience.
That's right. Right about.
Yeah. And so, oh,
body chills.
So that's the kind of thing. Like, the cards were very specific and I've got thousands of these stories.
It comes down to choice.
Yeah, it's so much of it.
Your eyes and been like, what the hell is this? I feel fine. That's not what I came here for. And she could have ignored it.
Yeah, and that's happened, you know? And I remember one time I was doing a reading for someone and he was this long-haired, tattooed, hippie-looking dude. And the cards showed me that he was this incredibly justice-loving person. And I said, oh, wow, you were in the military. And he goes, yeah. And I said, and you did stuff there that you are not over. You have not dealt with some of the stuff that happened there. And he started weeping. And he was like, I didn't want this. I didn't want to talk about this. I came in just to see about, you know, my love life there. And he's just crying. He's like, you're right. I was in the military. He was in Iraq. And he said, I did things that I still can't handle that I did. And I'm trying to deal with this. But how could you do this to me? How could you possibly make all of this happen to me right now? I was just coming to the Renaissance Festival to enjoy my day. And they're supposed to be 15-minute readings, but I had Jim, who's the scheduler, sort of put everybody off. The guy was in there for 45 minutes just crying. And at the end, he said to me, can I come back and talk to you again? And I said, sure. You know, because he hadn't talked to anybody about his feelings or his experience. And then having somebody who doesn't know him at all talk to him about this and sort of, I put my finger on it and it just opened up the floodgates. You know, so that's the kind of thing that can happen. But it was not because, again, I wanted to be objective as possible. I didn't look at him. I looked at what I was seeing in the cards. And when you get 4 nights in one reading, you're like, okay, this is a military person. This is somebody who's, you know, when you see that kind of thing, you have to talk about it. The cards don't really tell me, you know, if I see it, I have to talk about it because that's what's there. And even if it's challenging.
Do you ever hear whispers of inspiration? Like, do you ever hear numbers or see numbers or
no.
Anything that would tie anything into the context? No.
No, not at all. In fact, I've had myself tested for psychic ability. I'm a little below average. This is the way I look at it is whatever guidance there is from the person who chooses the cards, not from me and not through me in that way. It's telling the story I see in the cards. And I don't deviate. Honestly, Emma, the times that I've gone, oh, I'm sure I know what this is, and I said what I think, I've been wrong. I've been wrong pretty much 100% of the time. I try to stay out of it as much as possible and let the story I see, regardless of how weird it seems, I say it, right? Like, I had this one woman once. She came in and she just wanted a general reading, and I said, oh, you're really hurting. You lost someone right before you got married, you lost your fiance, and she 3 years before had lost, 2 months before her wedding, her fiance had died in a motorcycle accident.
Oh my God.
And she's like, I'm never going to love again. And the cards were like, no, you will love again, but you have to heal this first. And you've sort of been there. You've been stuck in 2 months before your wedding for 3 years now. And I keep a huge Rolodex of therapists from all over the country, and just give people numbers. Just call this person, talk, you know, get some counseling around this, because some of this stuff is really heavy. And she came back a couple of years later and she introduced me to her boyfriend, and she goes, we're engaged. We just got engaged here at the Renaissance Festival, right? That's the kind of thing that happens. The cards didn't know, I didn't know anything about her. But the cards very specifically told me what I needed to say to her to help her. And that's the, like, I have a little prayer, I guess, that I say right before any reading. I say, may this reading be correct and true. May my words convey what I sense. May I dip into the river of all that is and bring back what they need to hear and not just what they want to hear. With good for all and harm toward none, so I've spoken, so it shall be done. So my intention is always to help the person, to tell them what they need to know, and to harm no one. Ugh. And that is where I tell all of these stories from. That's the perspective.
That's the difference between someone who has experience and someone who's just maybe dabbling in it.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you get out of it?
I get to help people. I mean, honestly, yes, I make money at it. Of course, I'm a professional. But the thing is, seeing people come back, like the woman with the ovarian cancer, and I'm pretty good at predicting babies too. So people who've been trying really hard and have been unsuccessful come back, and I've met so many babies that I predicted. I've helped people start companies. I have helped them end them when they need to. I one time inadvertently helped a man come out that he was gay to the girlfriend he was there to get a couples reading with. That was interesting. I actually, like, so many times, I could tell you so many stories. I actually started something I call Tarot Tales that I've sort of been adding to for years, all about the bizarre things that I've seen and said that just, like, what? I had this one couple come in and I said, oh, you were together a long time ago and then you broke up and then you just got back together after like 40 years. And they said, we have no idea how you know this. And this was a palm reading, not tarot. And they both had a break in their lifeline at the exact same spot. And I said, this is where I see it. And they apparently had been high school sweethearts. They'd broken up when they'd gone to college. She had married, he had married other people. They had kids. He was divorced. She was a widow. They found each other at a high school, like their 25th high school reunion. They fell in love. 2 weeks later, they were married. Like, wow. You know, and they said, we have no idea how you could possibly know that, but that's exactly what happened. Right. So that kind of stuff just, it makes me so happy. And honestly, the other part of it is that I like being a part of something that's just a little mysterious.
Yeah.
Right. Because, like, I firmly believe that this can all be scientifically explained. We just might not have the instrumentation yet to measure it. Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about this in some of his work. He says, you know, some of these unexplained phenomena could be just multidimensionality at work, right? So we are in the third dimension, but imagine, if you will, we were in a second dimension. Well, what would it be like for us if a three-dimensional object like a sphere were to pass through a two-dimensional universe, which is all flat? What would it look like? It would start as a little dot, and then that dot would grow into a circle, and it would get bigger, 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 and then it would get smaller, 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 and disappear. That's what it would look like if a sphere passed through two dimensions. He said, but what if some of the huge phenomena that we just don't understand are just ninth dimensional things passing through our third dimension? What if that's what's going on? And when I heard that, I went, yeah, what if reading tarot is just access to something that we just don't have the ability to measure yet?
Yeah.
So, and I love that.
The Mandela effect, you know, like, yeah, crossing through the dimensions. That's, wow, that's wild. So what would you say to those who are listening who have never, you know, who are curious about tarot, but have never experienced a reading? What would you say would be the benefits of having a reading?
I think insight is a really big benefit, and different perspectives, different points of view. Mm-hmm. And also, it's nice sometimes to get reassurance that what you have been thinking is what's going on, right? I had a woman come in once who was, she was just certain her husband was cheating on her. She was just certain. And she said, I just need to know one thing. Tell me. And she didn't tell me what it was. She goes, I just want to draw three cards and I just want you to tell me. Okay. So she draws three cards, and what she got, I'm like, uh-oh. She said, what? And I said, whoever is in your life, he's cheating on you. He's lying to you. And she went, great, thanks. She reached into her wallet, brought out a $50 bill, put it in my tip jar, and left. She came back a year later and was like, I just wanted you to know he was cheating on me with his secretary. I divorced him. I got all his money, and I'm very happy. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, you know, so sometimes it's this very bizarre sort of quick thing. Sometimes somebody wants to know, like I had this other woman come in, and she's the kind who asks questions, draws three cards, wants the answers. And so we'd go through the entire deck in 15 minutes. And she came in once and she said, I want to know if my new roommate's going to work out. And I said, this was in October. And I said, he won't work out. He's going to be gone by December 31st. And she's like, well, he signed a lease. So I don't know what you're talking about. You're not normally wrong, but he's here for a year. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. He's going to be gone by December 31st. And then as we moved on, I said, and you're going to have to go to court. She goes, court? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be like June 5th of next year. You're going to have to go to court. And she's like, okay, I don't know what this is. And she left. A year and a half later, she hires me to work a party that she was having. She wanted me to read for all the guests at the party. When it came time to read for her, she said, I have a bone to pick with you. And I said, why? And she goes, well, first of all, do you remember how you told me that my roommate wouldn't work out and he'd be gone by December 31st? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, he lost his job in Baltimore. He went back to Connecticut. He broke his lease. And he was gone by the end of the year. He left December 31st. And I went, oh, she goes, yeah. And I said, so what's the bone? And she goes, well, the bone is you told me I'd go to court. And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, I did go to court because I wanted to sue him for back rent that he owed me. But it was June 4th, not June 5th. And I was like, okay. So I was off by a day. Right. But so if you're curious about it, I mean,
specific.
It can be. Sometimes it can be extremely specific. But the thing that I would tell, the reason I'm telling you these stories is because lots of different readers are going to give you lots of different ways of looking at the readings. If you're curious about it, you can just Google what tarot cards look like. See what they look like. See what is evocative to you about it, and see if it interests you enough to want to know more, right? You don't have to go pay hundreds of dollars for a reading to begin with. See if it's something that resonates with you before you hire a reader. And if there's stuff going on in your life that you want to know, I don't know if free readings on the internet are okay. Sometimes they are. But there are also people who are doing free readings on the, I do something called Tarot Live, where you can come on my Facebook page and I do Facebook Lives where I read for people who ask me questions. It's something I do for fun. And if you want a deeper reading, then you can hire me and book a reading. But there are lots of ways to start learning about tarot without investing hundreds and thousands of dollars. That's not something that's necessary, you know? Mm-hmm. If you really wanted access to tarot and you're like, oh, I want to know more about her deck, you can buy my deck off my website. See what that's like. You can look at all of the different tarot decks. I mean, Google has all of them. You can look at the images, see what resonates with you, see what feels right to you, and see if it means something to you. If it does and you want to pursue it, there are lots of ways to do it.
Follow your intuition.
For sure.
So my last question is, and I encounter this a lot as a hypnotherapist, which, you know, when I studied to become a hypnotherapist and work with individuals on their subconscious mind and limiting beliefs, this is the last thing I expected to encounter. So I was kind of flabbergasted, but it comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. And this is that so many people are curious about it, you know, to access their subconscious mind. They're curious, but one of the major blocks they have is that they've heard, or, you know, it's been instilled in them that this is the devil's work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? that if you're screwing around with my subconscious mind, you're doing something, you're putting me into a trance, which essentially it's like meditation, but they have this preconceived notion that it's somehow associated with the dark side. Do you get that a lot with tarot?
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a friend from high school once ask me, he talked to his pastor about it because he knew me from high school. And he went, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And I talked to my pastor and he tells me that it's, you know, it's devil work. And he said, and I just needed to know, are you of the devil? And I went, Andy, you know who I am. Do you think I'm of the devil? You know, so
backwards because it's called a divination tool.
Yeah. Well, and the Catholic Church used tarot up until the 13th century. Tarot was the province of the Catholic Church. There's even a pope in the deck called the Hierophant. It's there, right? And because it's part of the human experience, the devil is also there, but it's not the devil.
Right.
And the thing is witches have a bad rap, and you know, if I came back and we talked about the burning times and all of that, and we talked about how most of the women who were burned as witches or drowned as witches owned property and people wanted their property, and that's why they accused them of witchcraft, it's a completely different thing, right? At the same time, you know, the devil in the tarot isn't the devil like the Christian devil. The devil is helplessness. It's imprisonment. That's what it actually means, right?
Because so, we are duality.
For
we
sure.
Are light and we are darkness. And so for me, I think it's essential that there would be a devil. That's the dark side, the feeling helpless, the feeling stuck, the being in our dark thoughts, our looping thoughts of darkness.
Shadow self, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, all of that stuff is there. And the other way I think to look at it is that running away from the part of you that is not always the nicest just makes that part of you stronger.
What we resist persists.
Exactly. Facing the dark parts, facing the parts of you that you're not always proud of, and knowing what they are will help you more consciously take those small steps to improve things.
Yeah.
I've always believed that. So when somebody comes to me, and I've had people come into the booth when I worked at the Renaissance Festival, and when I'm doing corporate jobs, they sit down for a reading, which is funny. I'm like, you paid for reading, you want to do this? And they do this with their arms and they go, impress me. Or I had one woman come in once with a pad and she's like, I want you to tell me how this is not devil's work. And that's all she wanted. She didn't want a reading. She just wanted me to, I'm like, well, we can look at it. Like if you're Christian and you believe God created everything, didn't God create tarot cards? You know? So yes, I get that a lot. And the way I look at it is, again, the subconscious is the subconscious. It's there whether we like it or not. The tarot is a tool. That's all it is. It's a focusing tool that allows you insight and access to information that's there already. You just may not have had the language and the story for it yet.
Oh, I love that. The language and the story. So beautifully said. You're so well spoken.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. Do you get readings from other readers?
I actually don't. Just like I told you earlier, pro readers don't read for themselves. They don't tend to. My husband, actually, the last time he read for me was like 8-9 years ago. And he does the I'll look at the book kind of stuff, which I think is, you know, I'm like, that's learning. He wants to learn. That's which I think is great. But if I need to know things, if I need insight, I'll look at the cards, but I will never ask specific questions. And I meditate. I drop into yoga. That's my way of sort of opening myself up. I'll do this mudra when I'm doing yoga, and I'll open myself up to the energy and see what comes rather than looking at the tool.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for having this tarot chat with me today.
My pleasure.
So next conversation about witches. I love having you on. And for, you know, our listeners, all of Isolda's information will be in the show notes so you can contact her if you're curious about tarot, about divination, about anything else, about her books and her deck. And she's such an inspiration. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you share your website or Facebook page for those who are curious and want to head on over and take a look?
Sure. If you want to find me specifically, isoldat.com. And if you want to find the readings stuff, it's readings by, no, I'm sorry, I'm doing the wrong website. Readings.isoldat.com is the way to access just the tarot part.
Readings.isoldat.com. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm heading over there now. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.